Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to an expert talk from May 2019. Ms. Nora Kühner, independent fashion and design consultant, presents Beauty Makes the Difference.
Good morning. Nice to see you. Welcome to our presentation about beauty and beauty and sports and function. Beauty makes the difference. I think we all have our own ideas about beauty and what beauty means to us. And this is exactly the problem with beauty, as it's depending on individual experiences, on cultural branding, I would say, and on the circumstances under which we live. So this makes beauty a rather difficult topic. And a hot topic which has been neglected in sports for quite a while, I would say. Of course, we do nice products, perfectly constructed and things like this. But when Performance Days called me by beginning of February and said to me, Nora, the focus topic will be beauty and function. So we do exactly, after all these years, we are now doing what you have always been calling for, more beauty in sports. So the question is sports able to do beauty, to cover the topic of beauty? Because we were also discussing a little bit up front about beauty, and I think all people in development departments and designers know what we are talking about when we talk or we think about what to do for the next season, how to do the collection, how to prepare our products. And we are mainly discussing about things like newness, innovation, but most of all, functionality, technology, feasibility, timelines, minimum quantities, delivery dates, and especially competitive prices. So I think none of us ever uses the word beauty or beautiful in such a discussion about or brainstorming or briefing about a collection. Nobody says we want to do a beautiful product, and then we may think about it. It was also what some of the sales agents said, I never call a customer when I have got the new collection of fabrics and tell them, hey, I have some stunning, beautiful fabrics now. Or I have a nice, a really beautiful collection of fabrics to show to you. I say, I have something stunning, innovative, and functional, and with more water density and things like this. So the word beauty really is not used. And this is for sure is connected also to the development in our society. In a world which is driven by data and obsessed by numbers and counting everything, and only what is measurable is also worth something, because you can really then tell the worth and you can say it's useful and it makes sense and I earn money with that or I have a certain turnover. But beauty is not measurable. So, because it's depending on each individual, therefore, it's really, I would say, it's a typical human topic. It's really connected to being a human, emotions, beauty, and how to see beauty and how to express beauty is really something depending on the individual human being. And if we look back, just a short look back in history, maybe some of you have already seen the text in the focus topic at the wall. From the beginning of the history of mankind, people tried to shape things, to shape their environment, like in the caves in Lascaux or any other place. And also the first tools were made with a certain will to design, to shape, because these things, these hand axes, for example, for for doing the job, for killing an animal or so, the hand axe hasn't to look like this. It can also be different. But we humans are, which is provable, that we tend to have things symmetrical. We want to have things more in symmetry. This is more harmony to us. And I think, as a designer, I have experienced that very much when I try to think about, for example, closing jackets via diagonal zipper. That was always said, no, it's not saleable. Nobody will buy a jacket with a zip like this going through the jacket. This is not saleable. Okay, so we like to have symmetric things. And then, of course, a lot of societies really looked for beauty in architecture, in culture, and expressed it in architecture, in these, like, and this is common sense, we all agree that this is beautiful, so we accept these ideas that centuries ago, or in ancient Greece, have been developed. We agree this is beautiful. Masses of tourists go there to look at it. And then, of course, something like this painting about the Roman goddess Venus, and she is embodying love, beauty, and seduction, and therefore truly a human topic once again, because words like love, beauty, seduction are connected to being a human being. Because an algorithm doesn't feel love, doesn't seduce. I have never been seduced up to now by an algorithm or something, even not to buy something. So being seduced is also something which has nearly vanished. We try to fill all these information in numbers, to convince the people by numbers, but we don't seduce them that they want to have this jacket or this pair of shoes. It's rather seldom to experience it in sports. I was on Tuesday afternoon shopping, and within 3 minutes, I had a pair of shoes. So this was something different. I saw them, I tried them, I loved them. So, and they are mine now. But this never happens to me in sports, I have to admit. And this is something I really suffer from, because I really suffer from the fact that I love my job in the sports industry. I love the sports industry. I love the people. I love everything about it. But I'm not happy that that this industry is not able to fulfill my wishes. So once I have said it now, and so I feel better now. So back to the topic. Ideals of beauty come and go, of course, as mentioned before. This is for sure. Also, each time has another ideal of beauty, what is nice and what do we admire. And therefore, social conventions, value norms, and individual feelings really shape our understanding of beauty. And this is something really important. If we are all obsessed by numbers, we forget one thing. Human beings are not constructed, as a professor from a university of the East Coast in the US lately just said, I was there to listen to him, because I think this is really important, that we are not constructed as human beings to measure things in numbers, to give the precise value or the precise amount of something. We as human beings act in context. We act by seeing something, and due to our experiences, what we have learned, we say yes or no to something. So this professor put the old and very simple example for that in the Stone Age. Somebody was sitting in front of his cave, and there a dinosaur or something came up, or a mammoth, whatever. And then the question was just fight or flight. So, and it was not about measuring the size of the mammoth and one's own size and the distance and the something. Not about this. We are about measuring things or estimating our chances to survive in feelings, in emotions. And this is really deeply in our genes today, in the history of mankind. Still, we are stamped, yeah, like branded. We are branded with all these experiences mankind lived through over the centuries. That's also why we are today overwhelmed by this really speeded up developments in technology and science, and which change our lifestyle, which change our working conditions and things like this. We are overwhelmed. We are not prepared to react according to the numbers in such a speed. Yeah, we have to learn. Our body, the genes, have to learn and to get adapted to what is going on. And so a lot of people, or most of the people, really feel overwhelmed and cannot deal with all these changes. And this is deeply human. It's nothing bad or they are not weak. It's deeply human. But back to the thing that ideals of beauty reflect time, culture, society, sociocultural developments. If you look at our architecture, what does it tell us? Numbers, rigid structures, geometry, very, very clear, very bare. Yeah, that's it. Functional, to say it. Is it beauty? Of course, sometimes it can be beautiful with the right lighting, with the right... and if it's not too much, you are admiring this. But... And then I decided to get back to my old slides from 5 or 6 years ago. And I updated them and condensed it or just put it together. So 2008, I started with the first slides in this way, 2019. Just get back to this. Monotone is also a word I would say. What about this? Don't you think that is it really 11 years the same way of doing jackets, whether it's outdoor jacket, skiing jacket, running protection? It might have been great in 2008, but after 11 years, no wonder that people are bored. Yeah? If the sunset would be every day the same one, every day at the same hour, every day in the same appearance, every day in the same colors, it would be boring. And nobody would go to some island in Greece or so to see a very special sunset, which is watched by TripAdvisor or something. Yeah. So we live and we talk about every day in our job. We talk about difference, being diverse, being more innovative. But this is what innovation brings about. And you can only explain your innovation by meter-long hang tags. Something is going wrong because you don't reach the human being. You may reach the algorithm if you give it into an Excel sheet, but you don't reach the human being and you don't make the people feel, I want this. So therefore the question, do you love your sports clothing? This is also back from 2009. I love skiing. It's my favorite sport. And I'm each winter, 2 weeks only skiing. And my last jacket, which I really loved, was this orange one here. And since 2009, I bought it, I think, in 2004. I know where I bought it. It was in Düsseldorf, in the Karsh House at that time. So, and I wore it for 5 years. I loved it. And since that time, I only buy a jacket because I need a jacket, because this old one is it's over, it's done. Hey, why is it so difficult to make something visually attractive with a good fitting and which really appeals to my senses as a human being, to my feelings, to my emotions, to my desire? I am not a number, I am analog. As we are all, our bodies, our world, our environment is usually analog, except for smartphone. So, again, we have been trapped, or we are still trapped in this functionality. It's this functional thinking by following numbers, development by numbers. We increase the water column, we increase the whatever, the microclimate, whatever. But this is really hard. By the way, one thing which was stunning in the jury meeting, we had some fabrics which were not, where we didn't have the numbers of water column, and I think it was another wind density, things like this. And so we asked the lady in the office at the performance days to ask the supplier about the dates, the data, the information. And then she turned back and said, they don't know it themselves. They don't know about these numbers. And they ask, is it important? And I think this is really funny. First, everybody else was said, yeah. And I said, I think it's a nice counter-strike because it shows that they have really been working on the topic of beauty, because they just try to make a beautiful fabric, not wondering about whether what kind of functionality it has. It's a kind of counter-strike. It was a really funny thing. And so this is what usually we are talking about. These are our guidelines, and there's nothing bad about that, of course. Because if I want an outdoor jacket, I want it to be functional. It's what I expect. Because if it's not a functional outdoor jacket, I wouldn't call it an outdoor jacket. I would call it something to go anywhere, or it's a fashionable article. Like on Saturday, I tried on a nice jacket, which I would love to have if the fabric would be functional, if it wouldn't be only just for eye-catching color. So if I buy a skiing jacket, I expect it to be functional and to work. But what I want is something which fits me, which makes me more beautiful, which helps me to make a good show on my skis. And therefore, I like to give this forward this quote: "If something is useful, it stops being beautiful," said by Théophile Gautier in the 19th century. So, of course, this is not completely correct. But this bridge is useful, but it's also beautiful. Might be more beautiful due to the light, to the sunset, that makes it even more beautiful. But I think it's not that we say beauty is something which is never functional, and it's not about functionality, is not able to be beautiful. So is beauty an outdated idea? There was an exhibition in Vienna over the last months which deals with the topic of beauty, and which gave the initial idea to talk about beauty also here. And this exhibition is done by Stefan Sagmeister and his partner Walsh. They have done, maybe you have heard 2 or 3 years ago, they did a happy exhibition, a very yellow one about happiness, and now it's beauty. Today we mainly talk about beauty in the context of cosmetics. There's a lot of beauty in there. But this is also a problem of beauty, once again, which shows that most of the people in sports, or also in other sectors, they think that beauty is only dedicated to the surface. And surface, decorating the surface, is somehow not really of deeper value. So, but it's surface. And but if you go to all these cosmetic pages, and especially to Instagram, you see a lot of things about beauty. So it's a beauty of which is really about the individual, expressing your individual beauty. And it's not only women. It's really infected or affected already a lot of men. So the most the use of the word beauty is mainly in cosmetics and in medical surgery for beauty, for having being more beautiful. And for example, here you have seen this for sure before. The interesting question is also in terms of digitalization, the changes in modern societies, about this beauty, for example, which is created here, which is only a screen beauty. It's only existing virtually. It's not existing in, and you cannot reach it, like this look here or here, you cannot reach it in the analog world. You only can reach it in the digital world. So if more and more people live in the virtual world, we really have to think about also what will happen to clothing. Will we one day only project clothing? Because if you look at these interpretations and also the discussion about how to implement technology into the human body, where we might become something of a humanoid or maybe cyborg one day. The question is, what happens to the topic of clothing? This is not, it's still a real fabric which is there, which is this layer the lady uses. But on the other hand side, for me, it reflects this problem or this question, what will happen to clothing? Will we one day sell maybe an app with a collection which we can dress on the screen to our photos, and we dress every day or every hour in another look? Because nobody is going out, we don't need a lot of clothing, we need basic stuff, we don't need other things. It's really, we have to think about such things, because today we start the development, or what development has already started in these directions. Yeah? It's, and if we humans don't decide about what we do, how we want to live, we will be overwhelmed by what happens. One nice thing, my husband, he's a really a constant or permanent reader. He's a paper eater, I would say. He loves printed newspapers, and he said, you should use this picture. Our president, the German federal president, he was on tour in Latin America by beginning of this year, and in the footsteps of Alexander von Humboldt. And if you see the difference, it's quite the same scenery with a mountain in the background, the volcano. And of course, this was not functional, what he was wearing. Nevertheless, he arrived there and he managed to discover a lot of things in Latin America. And I think, nevertheless, he had a certain style. I like the guy and I like his wife, but I think, I thought, yes, this is outdoor. And I don't want to be in my life like this, with this feeling. Yeah, it's outdoor, I cannot do it better. So it might be okay for really a lot of people. But today we celebrate individualism, and that we live our own style, and that we have our own way of presenting ourselves to our surroundings. Hey, offer more than just this stuff. You can do better. We all can do better, I'm sure. And also looking at another topic connected to the problem of some of the problems of sports, we really always believe, I myself do so, but a lot of people do sports. But in fact, a lot of people do not. The major part of them, they don't never move somewhere, maybe from here to the next bakery, but not really doing sports, because you see here, the number is increasing. It's a survey which the EU does within the, at the moment, still 28 states, and they do it rather regularly. So this was in, you see here, December 2017, compared to the to November, December 2013, but you also can compare it to 2009. And so this means constantly, there is a constant loss of people who exercise sports or do have any physical activity. So this means for us, as we all know, the hardcore performers, they have always been a percentage like this, really down to this. It was never more. And now, when sports is lifestyle, still about 50% of the people don't do any sport, and we have to change the idea of sports, develop new visions, new scenarios for this change, because the number of hardcore performers like this. You see here also people who do regularly sports, 7%. So, and why do you engage in sport or physical activity? Also here means that people are not even interested in their health. Also here, a loss of in percentage. It's going down. And when they do, they want to relax, they want to have fun. And this is not, no, there is nothing which really tells you to, that they want the super challenge. Most of the people don't want the super challenge. They want to do, to integrate sports or a sporty feeling in their everyday life. They want to have pragmatic, functional clothing which can accompany them every day and to every place, any place they go. And therefore, it has to be more adaptable. It has to be to offer more choices than just what we saw before. So this is really the topic we have to tackle, to get more diversity. And the next thing, connected to sports, where do they do sports? And also here, very clear in parks and outdoors, 40% at home or on the journey between home and school. So this is also clear. We have to offer them more choices. But what I want also to tell, what I also like to underline, we want to do it outdoors, outdoor sports. What do we do with our nature? I don't know whether you have read a little bit about this new report on biodiversity, which has been published on Monday in Paris. And nearly 1 million of species in of flowers, plants, and animals are vanishing, slowly but surely vanishing, if we continue like this, with business as usual. Sorry. So, and I think this is something which we really have to keep in mind. People, we are always discussing what's the specific thing about sports. Lots of brands don't like to become more fashionable with a collection because they are afraid that they lose the typical sports attitude and the typical values of sports, which make them unique compared to sport, to fashion. They really want to keep their distance to fashion because we are sports. We are different. And sports is something which can clearly be defined as hardcore challenge and performance and blah, blah, blah. But I would say what is also important, sports has always been connected to nature. It comes from nature, from the interaction with natural elements, with water, with being outdoors, getting to the highest mountain, crossing the desert, everything. This is really at the core of sports. And also the emotion. We are happy that we have a topic, sports, which emotionalize people. Fashion, yeah, you might look at somebody crossing the red carpet, walking down the red carpet or so, and then say, oh, it's funny. But whether you do sports in team or just as an individual, or you just watch it as a couch potato, it emotionalizes you. This is a big value. Nobody else, it's really hard today to emotionalize people. So this is important. And of course, beauty, because doing things outdoors, we don't go to a wastewater resort to swim. We don't want to surf in the plastic garbage patch, whether it's in the Pacific or elsewhere. So, and Furthermore, in this context, I'm completely convinced that functionality and purpose, especially of sports, doing products for sport means always we have a purpose. We have something which people will use and they can make use of, and it will support them in doing and in doing what we want to do, and so, helping them to master the challenges they want to do. So this is important, because usually a lot of things don't have a purpose. You just do it and it's worth for nothing. It's nice to have, but what to do with it? But here in sports, deeply at the core of sports, is the purpose. And like mentioned before, nobody goes to a wastewater resort or to swim or to do kite surfing. We also prefer such a landscape to do hiking. And so the question one of my students at masterclass at ISPO brought with her from Sweden, how can we preserve the great outdoors as the great outdoors? And this is the question, and the young generation, most of the students who come to masterclass from China, from Taiwan, from the US, from Venezuela, they are all deeply into the matter of sustainability, and they want to act, to have the industry to act more to preserve the great outdoors. Because, as I said, nobody wants to surf in the plastic garbage patch, I guess. Maybe a certain challenge, but nevertheless. And using recycled fibers, thinking about how to recycle, how to come up with a more sustainable way of handling our resources, working with our resources. You really, to cite Paul Smith, I like his saying, but you can find inspiration in everything, and if you can't, look again. So that's the question, and that's the task for us. And here, once again, the emotion, really. People love sports, so we are really, we represent and we shape products which are really important to the people and which can emotionalize them and help them to live emotions. Therefore, please think about who we are designing for. It's beautiful to have this in the catwalk at Dior, but still, maybe a guy like this, maybe somebody else who is not the super high performer, just people who want to enjoy life, they want to practice a little bit, they want to do something out in nature, and the people offer us the chance to really come up with a wide range of products and with a different appeal. And design stimulates the senses. Of course, these people, they are sometimes strange, sometimes we don't like them. Nevertheless, look what they all try to express, how different they are. It's really it's also a kind of diversity. If I mentioned before the biodiversity, this is also diversity. And we have to support and protect it, because I don't think that we all want to end up as a clone or as an army of robots. So think about it. And as I said before, sports products, and the sneaker is the best example, the best practice. Today, it takes you from running in the morning through the park to the evening in the opera. So it's possible. You can wear it everywhere. So take a little bit of the spirit and think your collections anew. Yeah, it's better you read it, because you see what I think. Fun is already in the word functionality. So let's have more fun in designing, because I just the other day and today already, twice or three times, I talked to designers and developers and also people from sales, and they said, they really agreed that I said, over the last years, most of us have lost their pleasure and their joy in developing new products. We all complain and we say, and
But this is due to the numbers. If we have sold last year only black, so we do only black, is that. We never make a new trial. Maybe this year the season is different. People are different. They have seen something which might make them believe in different color. So really, it's not about counting numbers and setting up a strict framework, a strict grid, and not allowing new things to come up, and also to become mature. Sometimes trends need a time to become mature. It's not just flash in the pan and then next thing. And numbers really always reflect only the past, and not what is going on in the present. Yeah, we will always be behind what might be already on the horizon, because you cannot measure it there. And new sports, to make an end, it's about new ideas for sports, also in this context of health sports, sports for an aging population, and esports, and we really have to do it seriously, and not just think these are some niche products. No, we have a growing population of elderly people doing sports. They need attractive products. They need products which really also from a point of pattern making, for example, they have to follow the morphology of the body, which is not the same one as a 20-year-old guy. We have to think about new ways to express what is going on with a human being, or to dress the human being. And as an example, this is the High Line in New York, and here, a nice sentence. I really took the picture because welcome to a park that almost wasn't. Because it was just the construction from the 1920s, a railroad to do some delivery in between the harbor and the inner town, some district there. And this was neglected in the 1970s. And then it should be... should fall down, and everything was supposed to use it as places for constructing houses or skyscrapers. But there was an initiative of people who said, we want to have a park. And so now on this High Line, because it's not on the same level as the ground, it's still on the level of a railroad, and it's a park, and it's now one of the most visited places in New York. It's not only Lady Liberty or any place, other place. This one is amongst the most visited places, both from tourists and from people from New York, and they use it, and they feel safe there. Another aspect, there are statistics that this is one of the safest places you can go, also as a tourist. So really try new things. This park was nearly not to exist because somebody said, no, it's not. It's easier to sell the ground and then to have skyscrapers erected. Yeah. Following only numbers and what algorithms and calculations give you is not the human way of doing things and shaping the future. It's us to shape the future. And this wonderful planet, I give one task for you. Think about a question I lately read in a book of a gardener, a French gardener. Would it change anything if we call it the planetary garden? If we call the Earth a garden, because there are borders and inside, and it's beautiful. It's our base. And what do you do with your garden? You take care of it. You water the plants if you need something. So be careful with what you design, and be careful with our home base, which is at the moment, and I think for a long time still, the most beautiful place to be. So thanks for listening. And if you have any questions, or if you want to exchange a little bit, please come up. I have also my booth over there next to the Trend Forum. I will be happy to answer. Thanks.
thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other expert talks, go to www.performancedays.com. Copyright May 2019 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.